Welcome to a brand new episode of the ZT Podcast, where three friends join together in a dungeon crawling adventure. As always, I am your web slinger Spider-Man.
How are we going, Mulver? I'm your shield bashing brother Zach.
I'm your ironclad millionaire
Steven.
Millionaire
is
questionable.
He a billionaire or is he a billionaire?
He's a billionaire.
No, wait, is he still broke? That was like the plot of All New, All Different was that he was broke. And
well, he's in a coma now, so I don't think it matters.
But his hologram self is around.
He has like undisclosed Swiss bank accounts at this point, right?
And his hologram is a drunk, so I don't think his bank account defines him right now.
His hologram self in Secret Empire is based off of his drunken persona.
Oh, nice. So, we're going back to that.
Well, so he went in after Cap became Hydra and tweaked his programming to where he essentially was just drunk the whole time.
Hmm.
Still functioned, still did everything, but he had the personality of his drunk self.
So really, just an obnoxious hassle.
Ah, oh, damn, I was going to grab one of those before we started.
Why are you drinking all my drinks?
You affered.
I do
affered.
Afford.
You afford.
Oh,
God.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
So the reason why I cannot speak right now, I bring up caffeine. Our
don't you know.
This is how Zach feels.
Yes.
Every week.
The reason why I brought up Dungeon Crawling is that Marvel Heroes Omega came out officially on the Xbox and PS4.
On the 30th. Was no official announcement until I went to one of my achievement sites to see what was coming out. And it's like, new achievement list for Marvel Heroes Omega. Like, oh, shit, it's coming out.
The beta was always on the PS4, and the mobile game has been around for an entire year.
Well, okay, so it's
but
not
they never advertised the Xbox version.
So Marvel Heroes is not the mobile game.
Okay.
It was an MMO on the PC.
Okay.
Marvel Future Fight is the mobile-based one.
Okay. So the reason why I brought up the Dungeon Crawler, it's a Marvel Dungeon Crawling game, so it kind of looks fun.
Oh, and it does
and
have local co-op.
A ton of different heroes. I was watching Steve play, and he was playing as Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm going to go play it.
I have a lot of
Steve.
Games I'm playing. Yeah, right
it does have local co-op.
The next game I was planning on playing was Diablo. So I was like, just.
And I will toast your dad to play that with you. I love Diablo.
I've played so much.
Hardcore
I've played Diablo,
like
four times.
Yeah.
I played that game way too much.
But they have a new expansion out, Rise of the Necromancer.
It's literally just a new character class.
The Necromancer.
Which I kind of think is bullshit for $15 that you only get the character. There's
Did they
no
not
other,
add anything else?
There's like, I'm pretty sure there's like a quest for the Necromancer.
A quest. Oh.
So yeah, it's not like a new storyline like Reaper of Souls was.
Okay. So Zach, lame. Why else are we so tired?
Denver Comic Con.
So we spent Thursday through Sunday downtown Denver just hanging out with some good old friends and having fun at the convention. We spent a lot of time just hanging out at the Hall of Justice booth.
We had to wait for like an hour and a half for that payoff, which was kind of lackluster.
Yeah.
The slow-mo video was pretty great. But
for more information on that, I don't know if they're Patreon locking that video or not, but one of the hosts of Thinking Outside the Long Box got slapped with the dildo.
As we
classic Thinking Outside the Long Box fashion.
As we've now classified them as our big sister podcast.
Yeah. They called us their sister, and I've been telling them I love them like a sister ever since.
They said we were like their more young, hip, cleaner little sister.
Yeah.
Which, to that, I say, bullshit.
Yeah, we are the Catholic, we're the Catholic schoolgirl of Thinking Outside the Long Box in comparison.
To be fair, we did have like a 5-minute talk about dildos on a Walking Dead cover when we were at their booth.
But we also talked about Harry Potter in
we
the
did.
Same breath.
Yeah, yeah, we actually had an in-depth discussion on why we liked Harry Potter, which was weird going from seeing Tim's commission. I don't even know if I can call it a commission because that was a thing.
I mean, John gave him money to draw.
Yeah.
That's technically how a commission works.
Right.
Yeah, so for more, go harass them. Go ask if you could see a picture. It's something to be experienced.
I don't know how I'm going to send that video to him. It's greater than 25 megs, so I can't email
Dropbox.
It. I guess I'll have to.
Or Google Drive.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to do that.
Or compress it in the zip file.
Ooh, options. Now Zach has to sit there and think about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we hung out at Denver Comic Con. We the best fucking panel. The Justice League Reunited. We other than maybe like the Nathan Fillion, but the Justice League panel blew everything else out of the water.
I would say it was even better than Nathan Fillion.
I would agree.
Because Nathan Fillion was good. It was interesting seeing him see his inner thoughts, I guess would be the best point. But it's not as good as the animated Justice League cast getting together and doing a live script read of the final three episodes.
Of the original Justice League show.
Oh, yeah. Abridged. Cut out a couple places here and there.
So, and I'm actually going to bring up the... It was Sunday, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Sunday at 1:30.
Whop. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Why is this doing this to me? Please.
Because it always does.
Yeah.
Technology hates you.
Anytime you go to a convention, there's an app. It lies.
They can be good, or the apps can suck.
Or it can just eat your data for the entire day. At the same time this is happening, we're going over our Everwing raid battle on our Facebook chat. That's a whole thing. But yeah, the Justice League, so at the Justice League panel, they read Starcrossed, and within like the first 5 minutes, Kevin Conroy said one line and the crowd went wild.
Okay, it wasn't even in the first 5 minutes. When they sat down, started doing the reading,
he said something about Kazakhstan.
And well, then, yeah, it was
the first line.
Angela Romano did her narrating script reading, and then Kevin Conroy did a generic Batman line, and everyone, including myself, flipped their shit.
Yeah, so the entire...
Because he's Batman.
Yeah, the entire panelists, Kevin Conroy, who did Batman, Susan Eisenberg, who was Wonder Woman, Maria Canales Barrera, who was Hot Girl, George Newbern, who was
Superman,
Michael Rosenbaum, who was Flash, Andrea Romano, who did, she was their voice director, Brian Cummings was the moderator.
Did you say Phil Lamar?
And then Phil Lamar is the greatest Green Lantern of all time, John Stewart.
You already forgot one of the best additions, too.
Yeah, the best addition was who, Steve?
Kari Payton.
Yeah.
Aqualad.
Who's Cyborg.
In Cyborg. And
I just said that.
Aqualad. And Cyborg.
I'm trying to say. And Ezekiel. But yeah, it was really cool. And, you know, in the same first 5 minutes, Kevin Conroy immediately breaking character to sing I Am Blue.
Yeah, it was like the scene after they find out, like, Hawkgirl betrayed them and Green Lantern's all sad. And Kevin Conroy comes in with his line. He's like, women, right? And then everyone starts cheering. And then he starts singing.
It's so great that he just, as soon as he does it, Michael Rosenbaum just yells, "You promised you wouldn't do that!"
Well, even before he started singing, like, there was a pause because he stood up and like he was about to start doing it, and you just hear Phil Lamar like, "Don't do it. Do not do it."
This cast has so much cool chemistry. It was crazy seeing them live doing this script read. Like, that's the best way the panel could have gone. Other than doing an hour-long Q&A, which would have been...
would have been fine, but...
Yeah.
The kid who peaked. That was great.
Yeah. And some dude in the audience is like, getting to ask you this question, I know I peaked in life, and Michael Rosenbaum runs from the stage to give him a script. And he's like, okay, never mind.
Like, yeah, he's like... He stands up, and they point him out. He's like, so I think I've just peaked in life. You see Michael Rosenbaum run up, hand him the script, run back up the stage, and the kid just starts jumping around. He's like...
And let's admit, we would all be that kid.
I would flip my shit if Michael Rosenbaum run up to me and handed me a script that he just read.
And to his credit, he actually did have a pretty decent question for him, too. So.
Oh, God, Rasta John Stewart.
One of the really cool things, if you want to see/hear Rasta John Stewart, Denver Comic Con did an awesome thing for once this year and actually uploaded all of the major panels onto YouTube.
Any of the ones that were in Belco Theater or the side theater, yeah, they all got uploaded.
Yeah, that was really cool. And like I said, seeing them all on stage and then the fact that, you know, Michael Rosenbaum, it's funny to see if any of the cast ever acts like their characters in a small way. And Michael Rosenbaum's just sitting on the floor while everyone else is in a chair.
Yeah, it's like everyone's on a chair on a couch and you just see him sitting crisscross applesauce on the stage, reading the script.
Yeah.
You are Wally West.
Yeah, I just can't wait for the day there's no cringy like questions like the Nathan Fillion panel where the dude flipped off Nathan Fillion during the panel of the panel.
Or the guy, like, it was a little funny, but the guy was like, I was going to ask you about this show, but essentially, are you my dad? It's like, okay.
Son?
Like, if he had that reaction, it would have been better, but just the fact that he's like,
awkward pause. Yeah, it's
like, let's take one more question.
Yeah. That was really cool. And then actually going to see Thinking Outside Long Box do panels. Gabe was moderating.
Gabe Juan.
They got their, so Gabe actually told us when we sat down to record with him that they put, he put Gabe and Juan's name as the first and last name on purpose.
On their email.
Yeah.
Since they couldn't put Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Yeah.
Well, he said he tried Thinking and then
last name Long Box.
Long Box for their name, but it wouldn't let them because it wasn't a name. Which, that's pretty judgy on Google's part.
I mean, I made an account called Throwaway.
And that was considered a name.
Yeah.
But Thinking and Long Box.
Podcast.
It's like a how Facebook won't let one of my friends, his name is Legend. Like, that's his birth name. But he has to put two D's at the end of Legend for Facebook to recognize it.
Thanks, yeah. Facebook.
It's great. What were some other really awesome highlights for you guys for Denver Comic Con?
Steve, go.
Oh, do you want me to gush
already? Steve, just go for it.
I met goddamn Sean Schemmel and Chris Sabat, and I almost cried.
Who are they?
From Dragon Ball Z, the voices of Goku and Vegeta. Or, for you newer anime fans, the voice of Armstrong in Full Metal Alchemist. Well, Chris Sabat. Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh, shit.
Armstrong.
I didn't even notice that.
Or Zoro from One Piece. Zolo. Don't say Zolo. It's Zoro. We're not four kids.
We're three kids.
And the greatest of all time, the best hero ever, All Might.
From?
My Hero Academia.
And I just started watching that show.
Yeah, you sent me a text with like, all right, it begins. And then 45 minutes later, man, these first episodes have a lot of feels in them.
And then you came home sick that day. Yeah. And we watched eight episodes together.
I came home sick. I was getting ready to go nap. And then I just sat down. I'm like, neat.
Yeah, so Steve did like the worst thing. I told him I didn't mind spoilers, and he just showed me two random episodes in the entire series. This episode you need to watch because it'll make you want to watch it, and this episode is just my favorite one.
Well, yeah, like I was flipping there, like, actually, you know what I want to do? I want to watch my favorite episode. Went to the most badass fight scene in probably the whole show.
And then you showed me the season finale of season two.
It was not the season finale. It is still going on.
Okay.
It's a multi-parter.
And that episode wasn't even really that important.
It's just them picking names, which is like, heh.
I've seen King Murder Explosion.
Yep, that's the one.
And Lord.
Flopper.
Well, no, one of my
favorite.
Froppy.
It's Froppy.
One of my favorite gifts from the internet. Second best girl. I finally figured out where it was. It was like the first or second episode where Deku's just like swinging back and forth in the chair.
Yeah, first episode when Deku is watching the All Might video. There is the,
oh God, this
like,
chair.
The dance till you die. Thing.
Oh my god.
They put that over the Deku rocking back and forth and then put like random clips from here and there in it. And then there's the 10-hour version of him just rocking back and forth.
So that show's awesome. I will admit, it's like a really cool breakdown on Western tropes. I don't know what it is, but anything fictional involving schools is my jam.
And then you add superheroes into the mix.
Yeah.
You've watched One Punch Man, right?
Yes.
Steve, have you watched One Punch Man?
Yes.
Okay, good.
My Hero Academia is still better.
I would actually agree.
I'd give you that. One Punch Man is just fun.
Yeah.
I love it for the pure absurdity and just how it knows 100% what it is.
Mm-hmm. It's a really cool deconstruction, but like My Hero Academia, it's like that Disney Sky High feeling, and then you have Murder Explosion Man.
Explosion Murder.
Yeah, sorry.
Is it like, do they present their name and then
they present their name to the whole class?
Yeah, they all get a board, they write their name down, they're like, this is gonna be my name, this is gonna be my name. And then like the anti-hero guy walks up, puts his board down, and it literally just says King Explosion Murder. And I was like, no, try again. Comes back after everyone else presented their name, Lord Explosion Murder. It's like, that's just the same thing.
Do you know what a synonym is? Because that's what you just did.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons why this show feels so good to me that I'm like just going with it, it's the, bring it back, the Goku and Vegeta tropes. Like, it's the classical, like,
the rival,
shonen, it's the shonen main character archetypes.
They just keep leveling up.
Which is interesting you mentioned that, because the writer even mentioned, like, he doesn't think My Hero Academia was going to make it into Shonen Jump. Because he didn't think it met the criteria enough. So he tweaked a couple things and...
I mean, it's straight up Naruto and Sasuke.
Yeah.
Like, those two characters and, you know, Goku, Vegeta. And I was sitting there, I'm like, why does this main character kid look so familiar? And it was some fan art from, like, the day after chapter 700 of Naruto came out, and Naruto's up to Deku rubbing his hair. It's like, it's all up to you now, and he's walking away with Luffy, and it's like, man, we had some great times, right? It's like, yeah, we did. Save me a bowl of ramen. And it's like, yeah. And then it shows, like, their essentially what's the Team 7 photo, and it's Goku as the team leader, Ichigo, Naruto, and Luffy. I'm like, god damn it, this
the,
is
the feels.
The heart. Hate saying that, but there's no better way to encapsulate that emotional baggage than the feels.
Like, it's such a great show, because even if you take it at face value, it's just a fun action show with some feels here and there.
Yeah, All Might was a dick in the first two episodes.
He was, but then he realized his mistake.
Could I ever be a hero?
No. And then when he sees him going to be a hero, he's like, shit, I was wrong. I need to step my game up, because this little kid is going hard.
What threw me off so much when it first came out was, since they've been, series have been using the
Academia.
Yeah, Academia. I thought this and Little Witch were in the same universe, but it's Studio Bones who
best
does...
Best crossover ever!
I know, that'd be great.
Little Witch did, just because it released on
Netflix. Little Witch is Trigger, and My Hero Academia is Bones, and they're very similar art styles.
Pretty
except
close.
Trigger is a little
Trigger
more
has its style.
It gets a little more cartoony.
Yeah, it has a more, I want to say cell shaded, but that's kind of the closest thing I can think of.
Yeah, like that Borderlands-y.
Yeah,
and if you like Trigger, you know, like Kill a Kill, Fully Cooly.
That was
something else we need to talk
that
about.
That was Gynax, technically. Okay.
Dude, Fully Cool. Fully Cool. We'll talk about it in a sec, because we're still at Comic-Con.
Yeah. It's pretty much this, almost like the entire team that... Is it Gynax? I think that's what the offshoot of Trigger was. Because it's the same guy who did...
I feel like Fully Cool might have been Aniplex.
Hang on, I'll get it. No, I know it was Gynax. I'm fairly certain it was Gynax.
But Annie Hoozle.
Produced by Fully Cool Productions.
It doesn't help.
That's usually what every anime.
Yeah, Gurren Lagann was.
It was Gynax.
Yeah, okay.
Gynax and production IG.
If I remember right, the creator of Gurren Lagann went and then formed Studio Trigger. If I remember that correctly, it's something like that. The guy who worked on that show. That's why Kill la Kill and Gurren Lagann are almost like the same plot, but with just different tropes.
He also did Fushi Yugi no Yumi no Nadaya. Some really classic stupid anime about kids in school.
But what was I saying?
It has nothing to do with kids in school, by the way.
The like,
it's about a circus performer.
The face value and deeper meaning of My Hero is they actually tackle some hardcore racism in their subtext.
Yeah.
Like, you have Deku, who's quirkless, in a world that is full of quirks.
Quirks are powers.
And, yeah. And, you know, 5% of the population is quirkless.
And even his mom has, like, a stupid quirk. It's levitate small items.
Yeah, small to medium objects I can tell or float to me, and then his dad breathes fire.
And I haven't met his dad yet.
No. I don't even think in the manga we've met his dad.
Okay.
What is his mom's quirk?
She can float small to medium objects to her with her mind. Like, in one of the earlier episodes, you have Deku sitting on the couch, and then you see his mom in the kitchen, and she just floats a cookbook to herself.
Okay.
And usually the kids inherit one or both of their parents' quirks.
Gotcha. So, to clarify my thing, since I still have Google open, one of the co-founders of Trigger left with another guy from Gynax. They both worked on Gurren Lagann, and then they went over, made Trigger, and then made Kill la Kill.
Can I really quickly say something about how much I hate Evangelion's numbering system?
1.11, 2.22, 3.33, 4.44.
The fourth movie is called Evangelion 3.0 plus 1.0.
Fuck, I thought they were just...
I thought they were doing 3.33, 4.44.
It's 1.0, you are not alone. 2.0, you cannot advance. 3.0, you cannot redo. And 4.0 plus 1.0.
Oh,
those are the titles.
Subplot
or subtitle. The film Trechology uses newly available 3D CG animation and provides new scenes and settings and characters with a completely new conclusion in the fourth film.
When is it out? I've been waiting for like 3 years.
Well, the fourth one came out in 2016.
In Japan?
in the U.S.
Oh, did finally?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Evangelion 3.0, you cannot redo.
Maybe, wait, oh. Wait, what's 3.33 then?
I don't fucking know.
I don't think those exist. I think it...
No, I know there's a 3.33. I know for a fact there is.
Rebuild of Evangelion, known as the Evangelion New Theatrical Edition, is a Japanese animated film series and a reboot of the original Neon Genesis Evangelion anime television series produced by Studio Kahara. Hideki Anno served as the writer and general manager of the project, with Kazuna Tsurumaki and Masayuki directing the films themselves.
So they completely re-changed everything, or at least restructured all the numbering. That's great. That's not confusing at all. Well, I know what I'm going to do eventually. Do later. I would watch this on the plane to Austin, but no, I'm not watching Evangelion in public.
Unless you have the window seat and you like turn it away from everyone.
You get the privacy screen.
Yeah.
So, Zach, what was your favorite part of DCC this year?
I mean, I've kind of talked about it before. I was kind of disappointed by the lack of high-profile comic guests.
See, the fact you didn't bring anything with you.
Yeah. I was just like, there's not really anyone I care about, and or I've already seen some of these guests. So, getting my diva commission from Sarah was really great.
Sarah Hang, you can find him on Facebook.
Yeah, like I was so happy with how that came out. Like, diva's so, she's so fierce and adorable.
Yeah,
I can't wait to put that on the wall.
Yeah. I think some of my highlights: meeting She Paints with Blood. That's her. The painter name
again. You didn't lead
acronym
with that.
Yes. Acronym.
I looked down and like, oh, that's cool. It's like, yeah, she paints with blood. And like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. So she, she's the artist that does a lot of David Massa Mystics artwork. You might know him from Destiny Potato, also another awesome band. And I got the album cover Eco, which is the one album from Dave Maximistic that I got into that really led me to fall in love with his music. One of my big highlights, too, is just going around and talking to artists and writers. I've seen Kyle Higgins 3 times now, but I went over to him at the Boom booth. I'm like, hey, man, I'm sorry. I know you're here with Boom, but I don't have any of your Power Rangers stuff. I read all that on trade, but I really love your Nightwing. He's like, oh, dude, thanks, man. And I take out my Nightwing 29. He's like, oh, my God, do you mind if I flip through this? This is my favorite issue I ever wrote. And he's just flipping through it like... He's telling Steve and I all these little things about it. And then it gets to that page where it shows Dick Grayson as a talent. It's like, this is my favorite page ever. And I have it hanging above my bed, like the original piece. I'm like, oh, dude, I thought. And it's like, yeah, the next arc from Nightwing would have been about this story, about Dick as a talent. And I think Tim Seeley kind of did something with it. I didn't really keep track after everything happened with me, but dude, thanks for buying my Nightwing run. I'm like, no, oh, dude, you're amazing. Like, issue 29,
blurting all of this out to me.
Yeah, issue 29 is such an awesome issue because it's a lot of like,
that's the last issue too, isn't it,
by him, because right. They do 30 and that one's by Seeley and Tom King,
and then they shift over into Grayson.
But issue 29 is one of my favorites because it's like the whole serial killer in Chicago thing, and Dick's talking to one of his supporting characters. It's been a while since I read it, but it's like, you know, you've have to learn to accept things and move beyond past your tragedy, which is the classic Dick Grayson thing. Move beyond your past tragedy. Don't let tragedy define you. And I'm like, this is so great. Thank you so very much. And then I'm like, I also loved your Zero Year. It's like, yeah, Zero Year was a ton of fun too, coming up with these pre-stories. Steve's taking a phone call and he's going into the murder room, which we call our basement.
Don't die.
So yeah, that was really cool getting to see those things. Did you mute my mic?
No, I muted his.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
He's number 3.
Is he? I'm number two. Duh. So yeah, that was really cool. I went to go talk to Ben Templeton.
Temple Smith.
Because I got Templeton mixed up.
Yeah.
He was the artist on Gotham at Midnight. And we're talking about cellular service. And I'm like, yeah, dude, Australia has all this great cellular service because everything's in a satellite and just beams down. Even in the middle of the boonies, you can get cell service. America here, the cell service sucks. And we were talking about Gotham at Midnight, and like, he's like, I bet you never read any of my other stuff, have you? I'm like, no. It's like, here, let me show you. And takes out like his sampler pack and shows all this like super creepy horror art vibe stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to go find your stuff later. Thank you. And we just sat there and had like a 10-minute conversation. And our friend Randy was there at his booth for like an hour and a half talking to him as he worked on his Hellboy commission that came out beautiful.
This was all after you broke that poor old man's heart.
Yeah, no, that's really bad.
What did you do?
I got the wrong temple.
So he went up to Ty Templeton.
Yep. I'm like, hey, I pulled out his
comic, and he's like, did I do anything on that? It's like, oh, wait, sorry, wrong Templeton.
I really like your stuff on Batman the Animated Series comic, though. It's always so cool talking to artists and writers that are there and are willing to talk to fans, because there's some people that are like, oh yeah, here's a signature by. Like, having a quick conversation with them is really cool.
That's what kind of bummed me out.
Oh my god,
about,
take your phone off the table.
That's what kind of bummed me out about meeting.
Team is live blogging Power Rangers.
Umberto Ramos. No,
Aaron was texting me. Sorry, Steve.
That was kind of a bummer about meeting Umberto Ramos. Is I love Champions so goddamn much. And I was going to talk to him about it. You know, you charge for a signature. I was like, fuck it. $5. It's my favorite Marvel series. I'll get the signature. And I talked more with his assistant than him. All I said was able to say to him was, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said nothing to me.
Oh.
Yeah, it kind of bummed me out.
Well, like, it was the third day of the con zoo.
Right.
Probably was exhausted.
And he was working on a sketch. Excuses. But at the same time, at the very least, he could have looked up and said, hi.
Yeah. I mean, I've had so many great interactions with artists and the writers. Like, freaking Chris Anka was cool to talk to. Like, I got to talk about Overwatch with him for a little bit. Freaking Matt Fraction, the chillest, most, like, kind of just everywhere. You're, like, super high energy. Man, I'm still a little upset that G. Will Wilson just surprised everybody at Emerald City. Because I would have absolutely gotten in that line.
Let this be a lesson. Always have a Miss Marvel.
Yeah, just have my Miss Marvel number one whenever I go to the West Coast.
Like in a glass case in case of G. Will Wilson break glass.
That's why I carry around a blank cover with me all the time when I go to conventions now. It's in case I find someone I really want to do artwork.
Right, and it's like I would have just loved to just talk about how much this is like, as a 24 or 23-year-old white man at the time, this series is so impactful. It just speaks to me just because...
I've learned how racist I was. Thank you.
Kidding.
No, like, I just relate to Kamala. Like, that was... A lot of her personality was me in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the MMO kid, kind of the weirdo.
Writer of fan fiction.
I never got into fan fiction, but I did read some fan fiction.
Oh, God, that panel at DCC. School. There was a panel labeled fan fiction, not just NSFW,
oh God,
but a stepping stone to real writing.
No, that's all fan fiction.
I mean,
that's
what it should be. But
comics are all fan fiction at this point.
But at the same time, when literally the first line of your panel is fan fiction, not just NSFW.
I mean, that's like really good clickbait.
Yeah, it is, but at the same time, like, I don't think I want to go to that panel.
Where's the tentacle porn? Yeah. I'm upset.
Well, and that's why, like, I was 100% sure or okay with waiting 45 minutes in line to meet Chris Sabat.
Yeah.
He is the nicest guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I walked up and, like, you know, the usual, like, hey, how you doing? How's your con going? Instead of me just going, like, I'm good. I'm like, I'm nervous. And immediately he went right into his All Might voice. I'm like, I love you.
Please don't stop.
And, like, we had a 10-minute conversation about growing up, me watching all this stuff. And he's like, yeah, you know, a lot of people tell me, like, Dragon Ball Z was their good parent.
Oh,
and I was like, so sad. Oh, God. It's like, that wasn't the case for me. I was just a very socially awkward child, but you helped
me. I thought the world was going to blow up, and I started running around the house. Goku already looks like me.
You helped me make friends, but thank you for saying good parent, I guess.
Yeah. I was talking to Randy a little bit about, like, just meeting.
Get off his lawn.
Yeah, get off his lawn. Just talking about, like, it's like, oh, yeah, I talked, because he was talking about, like, how he had a great interaction with Templesmith, right?
Yeah.
And I was telling him, like, oh, yeah, I follow a bunch of, like, the writers and artists I would like to meet on Twitter. So, like, I can kind of gauge their personality before I get to meet them. So I know, like, kind of get an idea of how they're going to interact.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you can get kind of gauge their personality from that.
That's my favorite thing about Dan Slott on Twitter. Like, he gets a little political and people call him out for it. And then he calls them back out. It's like, this is my personal Twitter. If you don't want to listen to me, stop following you. And then he tries to teach people good manners. And it's like, look, if you're going to bash someone's comic, don't tag them in it. And it's like, dude, I didn't even tag you in this. It doesn't even matter about you. It's like, yeah, but it's still good manners. Don't be a dick. And I'm like, dear Dan Slott, or at Dan Slott, thank you for being so patient. I am a teacher, and I don't think I could ever have as much patience as you. And the fact when you go to his table, it's like, okay, we're going to take a photo together, but you can only do the Spider-Man pose. Thwip, thwip. And it's like, you're so
cool. He's like the jolly. He has like a really
big. He's Santa.
Yeah, I know. He has a big, floofy gray beard.
He's the man in the red suit. He is Spider-Man.
We figured it out.
He is the Spider-Claws.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like I said, I think this year at DCC, I wasn't so worried about getting signatures and everything. I just hung out with people.
Yeah, I just kind of walked around a bit.
And just kept bothering Tim.
Love you, Tim. I had the two people that I absolutely wanted to meet, and I met them. And everything, I was just like, I'm going to enjoy myself now.
Yeah, I think this is the most social I've ever been with the CCBE people. And I even said that on the page. I'm like, I don't think I've ever talked to any of you as much as I did at the con. And it's such a cool thing. Because I finally get to put names to actual faces.
I'm going
to
say,
the dude with Dr. Doom as a profile picture is actually, you know, this random girl.
I can't remember. There was one guy I was talking to near the end on Sunday, and he was in the CCBE group, but he lives up in Fort Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to, like, walk over. Oh, God. I'm hitting
it. It wasn't me.
It was me.
It was you.
Yet.
You punched the mic.
For
everyone
now.
Should watch Popstar.
And actually, I'm sorry to interrupt. I know, but if I don't say it now, I will forget. It. You do know you punched your mic at your panel, right?
Yes.
I did.
Okay. I wanted to make a comment of like...
We'll talk about that next, too.
Okay. But I just wanted to get that out there. You can't help yourself.
I really can't.
All right. Back to your holding topic.
I know. I'm glad I'm not the only one who knows that. But, man, I can't... I'm spacing on his name because it was like a day and a half ago and I have terrible memory as it is. But yeah, we were just talking and he was just kind of talking about it. I was like, yeah, I would love to come down here and support John Shop just because he's such a good guy. But it's like, and Randy was trying to convince him, like, yeah, just come down like every month or something, you know, get all your comics.
There's actually people from Loveland that come like once a month to all the way to Hall of Justice Comics Collectibles located in Parker, Colorado.
Yeah, and then he was just talking to me. He's like, oh, is this your local shop too? I was like, yeah, I love supporting John. John's the best. And we started talking just about like how it's cool to just come here and just support your local people and all that jazz.
As much as I hate to say it and as much as John hated to say it, Hall of Justice is literally like that place in Big Bang Theory where people just stand around at the long boxes and talk.
Well, we were all waiting for the slappening to happen. It was just a group of us standing around the long boxes.
Steve was sitting behind the booth.
Oh, yeah. I was like,
I just
fuck
walked
it. They're
in like three times.
Yeah, I was like,
points.
Fuck it. They're not sitting there. Shit. Walk over, sit down, and then one of the ties sat down too, and we're just like, "Well, this is okay. Normal."
Yeah, we all know each other. So I also
we've been on their podcast; they've been on ours. We're family.
Yeah. So I did have a panel. I was
come down, Vin Diesel.
I did an educational panel,
the family,
teaching other teachers.
Where's the family?
And it was so cool. It was like doing academic stuff for the first time in forever since like college, being able to present my own paper and my own findings and having people actually give a shit about it. Like I saw people taking notes
as I was talking, which stressed me out.
Yeah, like we were there to be supportive.
Holy shit, you did mute me.
I meant to mute myself. Holy shit, I'm so sorry about it. You only got cut off for a second.
Get fucked.
I see how it is.
Are you sure you muted the right one this time?
Yes.
As you speak into it.
So I had my own panel with some of my other friends and cohorts and whatnot.
Dan the Man.
Hashtag Dan the Man. And it's so cool having this experience where I get to do something academic beyond just teaching. Like write an essay and then present it and have people give a shit and take notes.
Okay, dead mother's gone.
And I freaked. At one point I was so nervous I actually like tilted the entire podium.
Yeah, you were standing there and you're just like, whoop.
Shit.
Like you just see the whole podium shake and you're like, oh, it moves.
Yeah. It's on wheels.
Meals on wheels?
No.
Deals on wheels?
Happy wheels.
Ah.
Den Mother's still muted, so just say some really bad.
We were talking bad about you.
I was getting I'm starting to get a caffeine headache, so I wanted to grab a green tea.
Yeah. So that was really cool.
Yeah, we were there to support you, and then I look over. And there was like a girl sitting next to us who was just scribbling notes. I'm like, God damn, she's taking this seriously. That's sweet.
Yeah, dude, teachers take, and it's really cool. People coming up to me at the end of the panel, like, hey man, can I have those lessons?
I'm going to say, like, everyone bum rushed that email list that you guys had set up.
The previous education panel didn't have a line at the end of theirs.
Suck it, other teachers.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like, I was sitting there, and like, when you're talking, and I just see your hand go up, and I hear,
I'm like, yeah. That's why I had my hands like against the podium. It's like, should I move my hands? What should my body language be? I've never presented before. And then I was telling Gabe and Juan we should do like a Colorado podcasts panel next year. And
let's just do it.
Local pods.
Yeah. And just have that and record it. And
shit talk on each other.
Our friend Joe. Dear Joe. Lovely Joe. We were walking past the Thinking Outside the Long Box guys. They're trying to figure out their things. I'm like, come on, guys, get off your phones. Don't you have something better to do? And then Gabe turns around and goes like, hey, man, fuck you. And Joe's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, like we sat there, had like a 5-minute conversation while Joe was kind of like hanging on the outskirts. And then when we got out of the hall, he's like, did you know those guys? Or
yeah, why did you antagonize those guys?
Stop antagonizing people.
I'm like, you know, they're our friends. Those are our sisters.
Yeah, those are our big sisters.
Yeah, I had a similar interaction to that where we were just trash talking each other, and then we walked away. I was like, oh, did you know that guy?
It's like,
yeah.
It's kind of the thing. It's like, as Gabe said, we only say fuck off because we love you.
Yeah. Like, didn't you also walk by Randy and he told you to get off his lawn? Joe's like, did you know him?
That's his thing.
Well, yeah, but it was more like Joe's reaction of like, did you know him?
Yeah, because
we know a bunch of old people.
They're
gonna hate us for that.
John already said older people, and then Tim was like, well, you know, it's like I was hanging out at Tim's booth and this guy's like, man, how old are you? He's like 35. I'm like, dude, I'm a decade younger than you.
Well, yeah, who are we talking to about Power Rangers?
Matt.
It was Gabe and Juan.
No, it was like we were talking about Power Rangers and
That was Matt.
Yeah. When Matt's like, how old are you guys? It's like, how old are you? 24. How old are you? 24. How old are you? 24. Fuck,
I'm old.
Yeah, it's like all right. So I'm
35.
I'm older than you guys.
Yeah,
it's like I'm probably a decade older than you. I'm like, I feel bad.
But it's so cool hanging out with people we don't really talk to. Like, we only see these people at events, and we message each other on Facebook back and forth. And it's like, oh, let's hang out with Marika. And I'm like, oh, you actually wanted to sit with us during this? Yeah, come on, let's go watch the Nathan Fillion panel, and see the guy dressed up as Joker flip Nathan Fillion off.
So awkward.
Volunteer couldn't slap his hand fast
enough. That volunteer like karate chopped the fuck out of his arm.
It was so great.
It's like, we have a message, and she looks in there like, ask another question. And then you see the arm go up. She's like,
it's like, if anyone else knows this message, you should do it with me. I'm like, oh, is he going to say like Kappa or something?
Yeah.
He just flips him on. I'm like, oh my God.
Like, I thought they were going to like shout something at him. And then you see his arm go up and the middle finger extended. I'm like, oh.
This is why I was telling Marika at the end. It's like, man, they really should have put those panelist guidelines up a little more between commercials. The first thing it says, please keep this PG rated.
Yeah, it's like, these are PG rated panels because they're going to go up on the internet. There are children in the audience.
Yeah, and there's a guy on the floor handycamming it so they could cut them into YouTube videos. Yeah.
Guess who's getting cut out of that YouTube video?
I wonder.
Probably. Yeah.
Denver Comic Con was so cool.
Yeah, it was... It was a lot.
It was the most social Denver Comic Con.
Yeah, my second year, I wasn't as like starstruck and deer in the headlights as much because I kind of like, you even pointed it out like when we were first walking through and on my first year, I'm like, oh shit, there's that. Oh shit, there's that.
Oh my god, look at that. Pillows.
And you're like, yeah, that's here every year, and I'm like.
Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, I was like, Kevin Conroy. He was there last year.
This is the first con I haven't bought a pop.
Really?
Yeah, I think. Well,
I didn't buy one either.
New York, I
didn't buy
New
one
York
either.
Comic Con, I didn't buy one because I was crammed for space already.
The only con thing that I bought, like you could only get this, was the Denver Comic Con exclusive Dr. Aphra, which I thought about it.
That was pretty cool.
I could have just bought this at John's store.
Yeah, later. I was gonna say John's probably gonna have a stack of them.
Yeah. But my favorite thing, because you were talking about Starstruck, my friend hashtag Dan the Man was with us. He and I got in early. We walked around the exhibitor floor for an hour. We had our programming badge, so we just wanted to see where we could get into. And we talked to Neil Adams. He's like, oh my God, you're Neil Adams. He's like, yes, I am.
could you imagine if I was Barack Obama? And I'm like,
what?
What?
And we just had a 20-minute conversation with him about...
That's a part of that story you didn't tell us the first
yeah,
time.
Yeah, you just said you had a conversation about Donald Trump with him.
Yeah, we had a conversation and Donald Trump was like, can you teach Donald Trump English? And I'm like, oh God. And because I remember last year when I ran to Neil Adams, he just talked. Like, I'm like, okay, I need to go now. And it's like, and he just kept talking. And then Dan's like, okay, I have to go. And it's like, all right, be sure to tweet Donald Trump for me. I'm like, oh my God.
I'm not walking into that minefield.
It's like,
so like I wanted to get something signed by him or get one of his prints. I was like, nah, I'll wait. Kind of glad I did, because I don't think I'd want a Trump talk when I'm trying to discuss.
I'm pretty sure he wouldn't do that because he has that stupid, obnoxious line throughout the day.
Right.
But like, he's a really cool guy, but just talks. Like, I told Randy about it. He's like, yeah, Neil Adams just talks to everyone. He's just like one of those old men who just needs to be around people.
A lot of time on his hands.
Like, he is the one who made the Oliver Queen that I love. You know, the goatee.
The one who goatees.
Yes, the one who goatees. It's like, at the same time, like, after you said, like, yeah, we had to talk about Donald Trump, like, do I want to meet him?
It's that, it's a media talk.
It fits with Green Arrow?
He just said we need to teach him better English in words other than mad and sad and witch hunts.
And fake news.
Because you do speak that they're good or English.
Yep.
God, after this weekend, I saw a Twitter post of, oh God, the president just started shitposting.
He posted a meme. I was scared.
Yeah. It's all, it was already downhill, but now we've just like, the stone is already just going.
Oh God, he started memeing. I'm surprised he didn't do it sooner.
Yeah, a little bit.
So yeah, that was Denver Comic Con.
There's the political talk for the day, shitposting president.
But so one of the big things that came out last week prior to Denver Comic Con that no one was excited about was the Inhumans trailer.
It's a thing.
Medusa never used her hair once.
She didn't have any
CGI.
She's like, oh my God, I've been kidnapped.
By Ramsay Bolton.
It's like, oh my God, I've been kidnapped and they have guns. But you have hair.
Like, are you sure you're
Aren't
Medusa?
You like the second most powerful Inhuman?
You know, she who's currently leading the Inhumans.
The queen. Queen Slay Queen.
Also, why the fuck did Locke just sound like a goddamn bear?
Because he's a giant pug.
He sounded like a bear when he like teleported in. I was like, is that supposed to be Lockjaw?
You gotta admit, though, that Lockjaw's the best character.
Where all the budget went.
Yeah, it's like, all right, we got Lockjaw. How much budget do we have yet?
Oh, shit, we're broke.
They blue screened him.
Hey, Goodwill.
Just get a tidy.
The Karnak scenes were really cool because it actually shows, you know, Karnak fighting and everything. But it's like, oh, man, Karnak's an old Asian guy. This is kind of a stereotype we need to move past. It was really cool, though. Karnak's my favorite Inhuman character. But it's like,
I can see everyone's weaknesses.
But having Maximus like narrate the whole thing, and then it's like, I'm overthrowing my brother, and then we're going to create Lilo and Stitch 3.
The Stitchening.
It's like, oh man, this alien and his dog have crash-landed in Hawaii. Whoa. What hijinks. I can't wait till they're like, all right, we're going to do an Inhumans Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. crossover episode.
DC did it first!
Somehow.
I think it just kind of dispelled everybody's concerns about it. It's like everybody was worried when they heard the plot. It was like...
Dispel or heighten?
Heighten.
Remember when it was supposed to be a full-on movie with Vin Diesel?
That's Black Bolt.
Yeah.
Black Bolt, or not Black Bolt. Vin Diesel has been campaigning for like every role under the sun. It's like, man, I just want a job.
I just want something where I don't say I am Groot.
The role that where he doesn't speak. He was trying to be the hype man for Vision for a while, and then they gave that to...
Jarvis.
Paul Bettany.
Bettany.
And then it's like, oh, I can't be Jarvis anymore. I'll be Black Bolt, the character who doesn't speak. No. They gave it to a guy with hair.
And then made it into a TV show.
Man. But you know what? For the first time in 4K, in theaters, or on ABC Family, you can watch The Inhumans.
It's just ABC.
Sorry.
It's not free. It's not going to be on Freeform.
Okay.
Yeah, just ABC. You can catch it 3 weeks early on an IMAX screen at a theater near you.
So the budget all went to the IMAX. The two episodes for IMAX.
Yeah, good God.
IMAX recording is still stupid expensive.
Yeah. and they blew their whole budget on Lockjaw and IMAX.
Lockjaw's only going to appear in those.
he's had to be around for
Lockjaw, you have to go away for a little bit, i.e. four seasons until we can get a savings account.
They never mentioned anything about Terrigen Mists either, did they?
No, that's all handled in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because the original Inhumans are actually aliens.
Yeah, right. That's what, yeah, but I know. The Terrigen Mists are alien mists that...
They're Terrigen Crystals in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like a giant sprawling mist death cloud.
So in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's people who are the byproduct of human and Kree. So they're humans with Kree blood.
Yep.
And then
so the Captain Marvel.
Right, but these are like... It's like the Kree came to Earth thousands of years ago. And then
banged
they're
everyone.
They're essentially Genghis Khan the planet. And then their
wild
descendants
horse sex.
Have Kree blood in them. And then Terrigen Crystals.
I like how you looked at me when I said wild horse sex.
Terrigen Crystals reactivate like their Kree
that's
genetics.
That's the weirdest thing you've heard all day. Well, you haven't been... Okay. I have not watched anything from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. since like the mid-season finale of the first season until now, where I start watching with Steve and I just make the same stupid snarky comments like, are they banging? Okay, they're actually banging. Oh, they're gonna totally bang now. Okay, they did bang.
Well, bang, okay.
Yeah, and then he uses reality bending powers on S.H.I.E.L.D. too, because like one character opens a briefcase, has a injection, and he's like, he probably doesn't even have real powers.
No, I said that beforehand. It's what's in the briefcase? I'm like, it's probably his
powers. Yeah, it's probably his powers. And then opens up, you
I've
see,
seen Spider-Gwen.
Yeah, you see Syringe, he's like, that's probably his powers. So he probably doesn't even have real powers. It's like, I use this for powers. It's probably Super Soldier Serum. It was made by this guy. Who made Super Soldier Serum. It's like, fuck you.
They can't. Marvel reuses the same fucking plots over and over again. Doesn't matter the medium, apparently.
I mean, like, this latest season about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's like, oh, the Inhumans are this bit menace, and because of the Sokovia Accords, they need to be controlled. I'm like, oh, it's like the mutants. Because they
can't use
the
M-word. They're
trying
to make the mutants, but they can't use them. Except the comics and humans, only one of them really deals with social issues.
Yeah, you could essentially take, like, the generic Inhumans that they have in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., call them mutants, and then still have the Inhumans TV show, and it would be just fine.
This Inhuman is super fast. Okay, Quicksilver. This human is super strong. Okay, any of them. This Inhuman has the power to push things and create earthquakes. I mean, Jean Grey could probably do that.
Jean Grey.
Or, freaking... Not Earth.
How long until they'd use someone who seismic. Can... do Kamala's powers, and then everybody
super
gets
stretchy.
Upset.
They're gonna wait for a movie. They're gonna do the Kamala Khan movie.
Please, can we get that?
Speaking of which, Fox actually recently, I saw this article before we started recording, but Fox reserved six movie dates,
We
know one of them's the Dark Phoenix movie. One's probably another Deadpool film, and three more are probably gonna be other Deadpool films.
Probably
those are
X-Force, and New Mutants.
Nude Mutants. And Homeless Avengers. John, I'm waiting for that series to come out.
Garrett, where is it?
You actually heard what happened to Garrett, right?
No.
Oh, I'll tell you later.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, no.
I'm concerned now.
Don't worry. He's fine now.
Okay.
Like, he's legitimately fine. He got into a car accident.
Oh.
And was in the hospital for a while.
Oh, jeez.
But he's awake now. He was on Facebook.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah. Anyways, not to be a Debbie Downer.
Let's go something a little more uplifting on something we tabled earlier. Fooly Cooly.
It's back!
They released a trailer.
Why?
But, however, they did not just release a trailer for season 2. They're also promoting Fooly Cooly season 3.
Toonami's paying the money for it!
It was a combined trailer.
I
where
can't tout them for that.
Where it's like, and to their credit, it looks like they only have one returning character.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine if it's like a new story because the whole series is an analogy for puberty.
Right.
Like, give us a completely
female protagonist.
It looks like it's still a male protagonist.
Okay.
He has glasses, has the Band-Aid on his head. Hopefully they're not just rehashing the same story. Hopefully they add new stuff to it.
Something different.
But yeah, so at the end of the trailer, like, it plays this amazing looking trailer. It looks like it keeps the same animation style, just with the new polish of the age. since, you know, Fooly Cooly came out before
2000.
It originally came out in Japan in the early or the late 90s.
Did it really? Mm-hmm. Wow, it took like almost 10 years then.
Yeah, it was.
It came out in 2006.
I believe it came out in Japan pre 2000.
Well, the manga was 2000. Exactly. The original manga run was 2000. The novel series was 2000. Anime was also 2000.
Holy shit. It was actually like the first episode day was 2000. What?
Yeah.
I thought it was 2006.
Yeah, so it looks like...
You don't remember like sneaking Adult Swim in the middle of the night?
No,
as a kid.
My mom still never let me do that for a while. Did that? Do that?
That's where I first watched Yu Yu Hakusho.
She wouldn't let me watch Dragon Ball Z. I had to sneak Dragon Ball Z. Let alone
I was watching an episode of Batman Beyond, fell asleep, woke up, and Yu Yu Hakusho was on. I was like, this is amazing. But so, yeah, it looks like they're keeping the same animation style, trying to keep it the same feel. Just, again, they have the polish of 2017.
It is a girl.
Yeah, she has cat headphones.
In the new season of Fooly Cooly, many years have passed since Naota and Haruhara Haruko shared their adventure. Meanwhile, the war between the two entities known as the Medical Mechanica and the Fraternity rages across the galaxy. Enter Hidomi, a young teenage girl who believes there is nothing amazing to expect from her average life. She probably peaked too. Until one day, when a new teacher named Haruko arrives at her school.
She's like,
is that the returning character?
Yes. They have her in the trailer for like 5 seconds.
She's the best. She's the best
of like her in her full-on like rocking outfit.
Soon enough, Medical Mechanica is attacking her town, and Hidomi discovers a secret within her that could save everyone. A secret that only Haruko can unlock. But why did Haruko return to Earth? What happened to her Rickenbacker 4001 she left with Naota? Where did the human-type robot Kanti go? So this is going to be coming out in 2018.
I'll give it a watch.
And it looks...
It sounds fun.
It looks like it's going to be good. It looks beautiful.
The original character designer is coming back, and Katsuyuki Motohiro, who did Psychopaths, he's the Psychopaths director, would be supervising production.
Okay.
Additionally, it was announced that the Japanese alternative rock band The Pillows would be returning to provide the musical score for the anime.
Nice. Who's the studio who's doing it? Is it still Gainax? Gainax is kind of...
I wouldn't assume it was Gainax. Since
12 new episodes of Fooly Cooly would be produced in cooperation with Products IG. So the people who did ID. Psycho Pass.
Yeah. I would assume since Toonami's footing the bill on this, or footing part of the bill on it, they're probably like, yeah, no, go away, Gainax.
And let's admit,
I bet Gainax is even like, yeah, we can't do that.
Gainax is just dying.
Yeah.
Help! The Toonami looks down. No.
Pathetic.
I don't even know if they have the staff to do like keep up with what they have.
Yeah, so at the end of the trailer, after they show like all of the explosions and craziness, they're like, FLCL2. I'm like, huh? And then like it pauses and FLCL3. I'm like, what?
It makes you want... It could be that they're going to be doing like a multi-season thing.
It could
like,
because the first
spring
season
has season 2, yeah, fall has season 3.
The first season wasn't that long, so I could see
it was
them
like,
being
it was 12 episodes.
Yeah. That's pretty standard.
Was it the standard 12?
I think it was 12.
The new season's going to be 12 for sure,
which is the standard anime length.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my
I'm looking for Madoka news just to see. Shin Godzilla is over.
Give us the third movie.
They even said after Shin Godzilla, they would be working on Evangelion 3.1, 3.0 plus 1.0.
Well, if 3.0, 1.0.
Fucking hate that name
I
so
do too.
Much.
I hate, at least with the 3.33 and 4.44, there was consistency. You understood what it was. Now it's even more confusing.
But it's 1, 2, 3, 3 plus 1. God damn
so
it.
So 4.
No, it's 3 plus 1. You never,
like,
there's no equal sign.
I like Evangelion, but I swear that director and creator has the worst ego on just a lot of the things that he wants to do with that. Like, come on. What made you think that was a good idea?
Come on, get it together.
Like, even marketing is like, how the fuck do you do this? All right, 3.0 plus 1.0. So is it this 3 movie with a bonus?
Yeah.
It could be like Grant
maybe
Morrison
it's a Japan.
Levels of stuff. He's just in a haze of drugs.
Maybe it's a Japan thing, and I just don't understand it.
That's a lot of life. It's a Japan thing.
Yeah.
That's a lot of Japan. Mommy, stuff. Look, that pillow has this character on it. Oh, my God, avert your
oh
eyes,
God,
Timmy.
Oh, God, Jimmy, no. Desu, mom.
That's why I was like hesitant to watch anime, because my parents could walk at me like, what the fuck are you watching? Like,
oh, I already got past that
point. Yeah, I was like, at one point I was like, fuck it, I'll watch whatever I want. If they walk in, eh. But like, Dragon Ball Z was like the limit of what my parents accepted. If I watched anything new, I'm like, what are you watching? It's Yu Yu Hakusho, mom. You wouldn't understand. It's the spirit detective.
See, I went past that point once I started playing World of Warcraft, like for 6 years straight. So I was just like, eh, whatever. He does what he wants. And I did.
Apparently, there is a new Madoka series coming out. It's not a new series. It's like a short film with none of the same characters.
Fuck.
So.
Never mind.
Not even anything.
I just want it's the conclusion. It's
called Side Story Magicka Record.
Is it about the first group of magical girls who just got fucked up?
Felicia Mitsuki, I'm gonna kill every last witch. Super lazy Felicia is known to stand by idle until she has a bounty. Spoiled by nature, the selfish magical girl uses the Pikachu to attack during battle. Yui to Tsuruno, her quote is, this is the game. Yui's only desire is to be the strongest of their group. Her claim to fame is being the heir to her grandfather's successful Chinese food restaurant. Nanami Yachiyo, if this is my redemption, please let it end already. Be a magical girl of suffering. Oh god.
Oh god, she knows already.
Nanami has been fighting witches in Kamihama for 7 years. She has never felt the need to join a group. She has been keeping track of all the rumors that are occurring in Kamihama. And then Sana Futaba, if I keep on changing, will I forget who I am? Sana is a naive magical girl that lacks in confidence. She prioritizes on people in distress that need her most. The new weapons, Felicia uses a giant hammer, Yui uses battle fans.
So katana from Mortal Kombat.
Nanami uses a giant badass spear, and Sana Futaba uses a giant, almost full body length shield.
So Gladio.
Oh, okay.
These characters...
I've always liked the art design. I know some people can't watch the show because of it, but I really like the character design.
But there's new Monica somewhere. Yeah, I got that one.
Wild card.
I'm still obsessed. Wild card. I want the conclusion to the Homeward and Monica story.
The good thing about this side story is it has nothing to do with them, and witches still exist. So it probably takes place before Gotoka. It's gotta
be before then.
But on the brighter side, My Hero Academia is not even going to take a break. They released a trailer for their third arc.
That's pretty
badass.
There's
Attack on Titan. They're like, all right, you waited 4 years. Now we have two seasons back to back.
It was stupid because a friend on Facebook and I talked about it. And he's like, man, tomorrow's the last episode.
Wait, did we already beat the third raid boss?
Yes. Oh, Juliana finished it off. And it's cursing us for getting her back into this game.
We're playing a really dumb Facebook game called Everwing, where you're a fairy and you have dragon sidekicks.
And you just shoot other little dragons. I don't
play it either.
It's like those old school Neo Geo arcade cabinets where you're a plane shooting down bigger planes.
It's like Gradius.
Fuck this game.
Meanwhile, I'm still playing hours and hours of Overwatch.
Meanwhile, in the tool shop. Oh, dude! Blazing Azure Crow, who does Digimon and Bridge, started Fate Stay... Unlimited Stay. Blade Works.
Fate Stay Night, Unlimited Blade Works. Abridged.
Fucking great.
I need to watch it still.
Ooh, there's actually... You'll probably interest because you like the Fate series.
I like Fate Zero. I actually haven't watched Unlimited Blade Works.
Oh, Unlimited Blade Works is so good.
I know. I heard they were redid Stay Night.
Yeah, because it was Stay Fate Night. Stay Night. Fate Stay Night was pretty good. And then they got a thing called a budget and went fucking crazy with the animation.
Well, apparently, like... Each Fate Stay Night, from what I understand, Fate Stay Night was an original visual novel.
Yes.
Well, they were all...
Hentai.
No. They were...
Light novels? Visual novels?
Visual novels.
You said that.
That's what I said.
I thought you said...
I
might...
You probably
play the record back.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm not listening. Whatever. Fuck you. But yeah, so they were all visual novels, but they were all part of one game. It was one visual novel game that if you went down certain paths, it would take you to the different series.
Like,
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's what it was. It's like Fate Stay Night's one character's ending. Unlimited Blade Works is another character ending. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, shit, what order do I watch this in then?
If you want to watch Stay Night, you could.
You don't have to watch Zero. You don't have to,
but Zero leads into Stay Night. And they reference...
Zero is the prequel.
Like, they reference things, and then a character shows up that if you haven't watched Zero, you're like, why do they matter?
Yeah, literally one of the main characters in Stay Night shows up at the end of Zero.
Okay.
And that's
and one of the antagonists.
Which one do you have on Blu-ray?
I don't have either of them.
Fate Zero and I think Unlimited Blade Works are still on Netflix. Yeah,
probably both on Netflix. Okay. That's how I watched it.
I need to rewatch
Blade Fate Works, Zero. But... is I love it for the action sequences. The story is pretty by the books.
Yeah.
It's nothing super special. It's just cool.
But they are making a new movie for Stay Night. I don't know if it's continuing the story or if it's a side story, but...
Right.
It looks great. Like, it looks like they took the budget from Blade Works and applied it to just a movie.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the series is like Holy Grail war politics, some spy just stuff, and then God characters fighting.
Yeah.
Like, you're there for, like, okay, let's push the plot along. All right, give me the God fight, please.
God fight.
It's kind of like Dragon Ball Z in that sense, where you're just waiting for the fighting to start.
It's Dragon Ball Z with famous people.
Yeah.
Like, I think that
was my draw. Yeah, Saber's supposed to be King Arthur, right?
Yep.
Saber's King Arthur.
They had...
And Zero Archer was Gilgamesh.
Yeah, Gilgamesh.
Don't tell me anything else.
Trying to think of who was Berserker in Stay Night. They were like a famous figure. But that gets revealed in an episode, and it's a whole episode about it. But it's such a good series.
It's cool.
And there is a new game coming out for the PS4 and the Switch based on the Fate series. It's like Dynasty Warriors with the Fate characters. Yes.
Fire Emblem Warriors. Can't wait. Two whole new characters.
I'm probably going to pick that up because, again, it's Dynasty Warriors with the Fate characters.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I also need more than two games on my Switch.
I do too. I have Mario Kart. Still and Zelda. Need
to justify your purchase.
I have Mario Kart and
Disgaea.
Disgaea.
I want to get Disgaea.
You got I Am Setsuna.
I did not. I got that on my PC when it was on sale.
Ah.
I Am Setsuna is a fucking great game if you like old school Final Fantasy. It's made by It's published by Square too, so like, why not?
There is that RPG game coming out for the Switch.
That's made by the Ice. Year. It's made by the same people from IO.
Yeah, and everything's like in a 2D perspective in a 3D world.
And they also use some of the same assets from IO Setsuna. Like, some of the enemies are the same enemies. So people are like, oh, they're reusing assets. What if it's a fucking sequel? Yeah. Calm your shit. It's early. They needed a trailer for E3. Switch has nothing.
Don't people consider Bravely Default a Final Fantasy game?
No.
No?
It has the character classes, but none of the enemies.
Yeah. Oh. It's essentially if you liked the gameplay of like three Final Fantasies, then you'll like Bravely Default because it plays almost the exact same.
Except you get the Bravely and the Default system. Yeah.
Which I found confusing, but I got used to it in the demo.
Yeah, I never played two. I'm like really close to being the first one.
Yeah, I need to play them both. I've heard Bravely Second is amazing.
Yeah. What else are we supposed to talk about today?
We didn't really have. We were kind of.
We didn't have a list.
The other thing I have is Baby Driver.
Baby Driver.
Baby Driver.
Baby Driver. In attack mode, and play Joss. Not Joss Whedon. Who's that director?
Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright in attack mode, and flip a coin whether or not it's good. Like Time Wizard.
I want to see it, but I was recently ruined of Jamie Foxx, and I can show you the video why. So when he first got a start. He was on a sketch comedy show called In Living Color.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
In that show, he played a certain character called Wanda. My God, Wanda. I can't really... words can't describe it. I'm going to show you the video. But for you listeners, go look up In Living Color Wanda, and you'll know why Jamie Foxx is partially ruined for me forever. So I want to see it, but I don't know if I could take him seriously in the movie.
Well, it's like watching The Rock and the Jumanji trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just keep talking about movie trailers.
Yeah, that's right.
And Death Note trailer, I guess.
I haven't watched the Death Note trailer either.
I got the gist off Twitter.
It looks like a Netflix original.
which isn't always a bad thing.
It's not always a bad thing. Stranger Things was amazing.
Yeah. You got House of Cards, Orange is the New Black.
Narcos is a Netflix original.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I like this interpretation of Death Note. And it's kind of one of those things where it's really hard to divorce yourself from the original source material. Like, I know it's a totally different story.
I'm at the very least
the Green Goblins in the movie.
Going to give it a chance.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it its fair shot like I do with almost every Netflix series that comes out. Of like, I don't know how I feel about this. I'm still going to give it a shot, though.
Yeah. Like, I tried to watch the first episode of Iron Fist. Ooh. It was all right.
Did you not even get past the first episode?
I fell asleep. During the first
episode. you haven't watched past the first
episode. I watched the fight scene that had like 46 cuts.
But you haven't watched past the first episode.
I'm just waiting for Defenders.
But you haven't watched past the first episode, and you're going to say, I don't like the show.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I said I gave it a chance.
You said you didn't like it.
I didn't like
it. We talked about it, and you're like, yeah, I was disappointed in Iron Fist. I didn't like it. It's like, it wasn't that bad. Doesn't mean it was good. And you haven't even watched past the first damn episode.
So how about that Jumanji trailer?
We're going to have a talk later.
Did you watch the Jumanji trailer?
No.
So four kids.
I am not interested in this movie.
Four kids get in trouble and go to detention. And they have to clean a room. And then they find the Jumanji video game. And it's like, oh, hey, these four kids are going to bond in detention tropes because that's what's popular right now. I will say it's entertaining to see them go into the world itself where it's like, oh, my God, I'm the nerd and I'm now the buff big rock dude. Oh, my God, Jack Black is flirting with me. Oh, my God, the giant football player is now 2 feet shorter than Kevin Hart. Oh, my God, the shy girl is now Karen Gillan in a skimpy outfit because it's a video game and they said they would explain it. I don't know if I'm going to watch it.
I do not care.
I like The Rock and I like Kevin Hart. They won me over with Central Intelligence. But I don't know if I want to actually go watch it. It's not even the fact that it's like a Jumanji sequel or remake. Yeah, I just don't know.
I have no interest in this.
Steve?
I'll see it. I don't know if I'll see it in theaters.
I have like a list of movies coming out this summer that I'm actually excited for, like Dunkirk, Atomic Blonde,
which Spider-Man actually, Homecoming.
Spider-Man's next week. Yeah, so Spider-Man. I think Dunkirk and then Atomic Blonde, or Atomic Blonde and Dunkirk are reversed.
Dude, Dunkirk got spoiled to me already. I read a history book. Like, fuck, man.
Why have couldn't you believe see it now?
What was it? It was like, what was that? Racing, what was that? NASCAR, not NASCAR, oh, Formula One film with
with Thor.
Oh,
Hemsworth, Speed.
No, it was like Rush or something.
I think it was Rush,
yeah. And yeah, some.
And then the news outlet goes and talks about what happened, like the guy in real life. Yeah. And people are like, what the fuck?
Yeah, way to fucking spoil it for me. It's like, it was a real life event that happened.
Next, you're gonna tell me Saving Private Ryan happened in real life. Let me tell you about World War II.
I can't remember what I was reading, but it was like someone talked about a World War II based movie, and they said an event like, God, way to fucking spoil the movie for me. And it was like
Inglorious Bastards.
It had to do with Nazis or something like that, like a concentration camp. Like, wow, way to spoil the whole movie for me. It's like, have you taken a history class?
I would say like Boy in the Striped Pajamas, you should never spoil that movie.
No.
Because, you know, you can't expect the ending, but you kind of do, and then you cry like a bitch.
That's going to be on.
That's what I did.
I mean, put on Netflix in July.
The whole point of Dunkirk is not that, are they going to win? It's like, no, they're probably not. They don't win this fight. We already know how this goes. It's going to be about the characters in it.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of doing a period piece.
Yep. Like a, what's its face?
Or one of the points of a period piece.
What's the other World War II movie that came out recently?
Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah, that one, and then the tank one.
Fury.
I love Fury so much. It's such a good movie. Yeah, Shia LaBeouf found God. No, he got so into character, he decided to abandon his Jewish religion and become Christian. Because his character was Bible. He was like a priestess character. And then he's like, you know, you can't just read the lines. You have to really believe in it. And I'm not bashing him for finding God. Like, that's his own thing. Like, he's really hardcore method acting. But, like, dude.
Fun fact, Shia LaBeouf's last name could be interpreted in French as the beef. So I from now on refer to Shia LaBeouf as Shia the Beef.
He is kind of beefy.
Does he have beef?
Apparently, do you have any beef wants to go watch the new Transformers movie?
I'm going to wait till DVDs to go for it.
Yeah, apparently Shia LaBeouf is dead. Like, they killed him off screen.
Oh,
so that's what happened. Because, I saw the article. It's like, they explain what happened.
Shia LaBeouf is a Wiccan. He's a Wiccan who is the descendant of Merlin from King Arthur's court. And then another character is also a descendant of Merlin who holds the power to stop the Transformers from doing something.
How can you not love these movies?
I think, you know how, like, when we played Overwatch last time, I read the plot of the mummy from Wikipedia? I'm going to do that with the Transformers movie.
It's exactly like that.
Okay, I will say.
It's like, thanks for saving me the $12.
I know the Transformers movies are terrible. Okay, after two, they're terrible.
That's when I gave up.
Yeah.
But I still love them.
Yeah.
Because they're that stupid.
Let me pitch you something. The ultimate franchise is not Transformers G.I. Joe. You ready?
21 Jump Street, Men in Black.
Transformers, Fast and Furious.
Ooh. My two guilty pleasures in
one.
And
then it turns into like a Power Rangers-esque thing as they're driving the cars.
Vin Diesel turns in to
They
Bumblebee.
Transform and then they're in like a cockpit.
They're in a harness.
There. Yes.
God damn it.
Are you talking like a baby Bjorn harness holding Vin Diesel on Optimus Prime?
Get out of my face.
We have to
fight. In your face.
We have to fight together, Vin.
Now Not I'm your
today.
Face. Now I'm your face, Optimus.
What was that? What was that racing movie? Oh, no, it wasn't a movie. It was on Toonami a lot.
Initial D?
Oh, no, I know what you're talking about.
Initial D.
Was it the Hot Wheels movie?
No, it wasn't that. Hot Wheels show is good. Shut your mouth.
I'm not bashing it. Yeah, I'm just trying to help you along.
Where they had power-ups. It was an anime. The original anime was them in a forest inside a mech shooting at each other, and then it turned into a racing anime.
Oh, IGPX!
Yeah!
The Immortal Grand Prix!
Yeah!
Yeah!
That's what the Transformers Fast and Furious movie should be about.
Oh my god, IGPX was fucking amazing!
They're in the cars, and then they transform and start beating each other on the racetrack while they're trying to stop a nuke.
Yeah, yeah. And this all started from them having like 3v3. You go into this warehouse and fight each other in your mech suits. Last team standing wins, and it was a fucking awesome short film series.
And then it turned into an even better TV series.
And then so like IGPX, I'm like, ooh, are they gonna have like a full tournament style thing? No, they're fucking racing, and then those cars turn into robots, and they start beating the shit out of each other. And it had an emotional story tied to it too.
And then the love interest, and then the friend couldn't even realize his friend zone feelings for him because he was hooked on dating this girl from another country.
Who's on another IGPX team. Why is there not a live-action IGPX yet?
They haven't gotten it to it yet. Give it time.
Please don't do a live-action IGPX movie.
They'll ruin
movie.
That as well.
Michael Bay, let's go.
Oh, God, are you sure?
But going along with that, before they can do the IGPX movie, Zachary has a great point. They need to do a Hot Wheels movie on Highway 35 where they get the power-ups and then they get the racing keys.
No.
Even Speed better. Racer and Fast and Furious.
Even better, they do it on the Autobahn. Close off the whole Autobahn, throw some power-ups out there, and death race this shit.
Death race, Fast and Furious, the movie. That's already Fast and Furious, let's be real.
Death race and Transformers. IGPX.
God damn it.
Oh, God.
The you great ever, robot movie
you
discussion.
You ever sit there and it's like, God, I hate my brain. Because this is not one of those moments, because that'd be fucking awesome.
Like, I'm so glad that you like started describing, you're like, all right, they fight in a forest. And then the next series they race. And I'm like, fuck yeah, IGPX.
Did you ever watch this?
Maybe? I don't know.
It used to be on Netflix. I don't know if it is anymore. But it's like really high class animation from the early 2000s too. Like, okay. It's such a good series.
I think the only, like, animated show I remember from that other than anime is Code Lyoko.
Wait. I know the Ultimate series they need to live action. They need to do Zoids.
Live action.
Live action Zoids.
And then we get a Power Rangers crossover.
That was Zoids Fusers.
Yeah. Oh. Where they, Mary did that, Zach. Yeah, Simpsons did it first.
They took their Liger and then three other Zoids and, like, fuck it, fuse them.
Liger Zero Phoenix!
Yeah.
Well, it's like they do the Zoids Chaotic Century where Zoids are wild animals and then you can tame the Zoid and use them. And then they start making Zoids. Like Death Raptor was the first Zoid that they was ever like produced.
And then came the Scorpion one that they took into a spaceship to shoot lasers down at Earth.
Yeah.
Because then, bad guys.
And then it became like Hunger Games style Zoids because of Zoid routine so much damage.
It became like the world sport is now Zoids. And you take and then your Zoids.
Junkers who. And that's where we met Bit Cloud.
Trying to get some scraps off that Liger Zero. No, it was off the Shield Liger. Then he met his partner, Liger Zero. And then came.
Holy shit, Aaron finally followed the podcast.
Because she's sitting. Because we told her we can't talk to her because we're recording. So she's going to start talking shit.
And then came Liger Zero Jaeger. And Liger Zero Schneider. Liger
Blade
Zero,
Liger.
Liger Zero Panzer.
Ah, Zoids. But let's all remember, it was the Shield Liger first, then Blade Liger, yes. Then he upgraded to Liger Zero from Chaotic Century.
No, there was another person who had a Shield Liger.
Yeah, Van.
And then he got injured, had to leave the team.
No, that was Bit. I'm talking about Van.
Right, no. Van had Shield Liger, then Blade Liger. Well, because Shield Liger evolved
into Blade Liger.
And then that series ended, and then came Liger Zero.
But the big headcanon was that Blade Liger was... Or it became Liger Zero, because when you see inside of Liger Zero's black box, you see Zeke. Come on, man.
You stepped up my Zoids game.
Disappointed. Like, again, Denver Comic Con. I bought some Gunpla, you know, building Gundams, and the guy also had Zoids, and I'm sitting there,
what? He had Zoids?
Yeah.
I didn't see no Zoids.
You didn't see the giant Kill Raptor?
No.
That was next to the giant $300.
I did see
he had some smaller ones in a corner. Like
he didn't have any of the good ones.
He had, like, the Godzilla Zoid. It was, like,
yeah,
Kong Gila or something like that.
Yeah. But you didn't have any of the good ones, because I was looking for Shield Liger or Liger Zero.
If they had Blade Liger, I would have snatched that up. Or if they had Liger Zero, Jaeger.
Yeah. No, but anyways.
Schneider was
that's the one. Ultimate Fast and Furious crossover, is when they eventually just do Zoids.
Yeah, they have Transformers meet up with the Fast and Furious, who then meet up with IGPX, who meet up with Zoids. And then G.I. Joe shows up for some reason.
So IGPX was 5 5-minute micro-series,
yep.
And then it became a 26-episode anime.
It also had
loosely based
an online game where you control, I can't remember the name of the team, the main team, but you control them and fight the other Russian dudes.
Lord.
They could so make Fast and Furious G.I. Joe work. The Rock is in both. After equipping...
The Rock died, right?
What? No.
No, Channing Tatum
died.
Yeah.
In the first, like, 5 minutes of the movie. They're like, yeah, look, another G.I. Joe with Channing Tatum. He's dead.
And he's gone.
But you get The Rock.
Team Satomi was their name in IGPX.
Yes. Just on the wiki
and,
now.
And one of them was, like, a cat girl who had a little kitty with her in her cockpit. Yeah. But anyway, okay. Baby Driver.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a good segue to... Cars and
Fancy
driving.
Valjean's speaking name of Fast and Furious, the characters Fantine and Jean Valjean and from the book Les Mis by Victor Hugo. Likewise, Team Skylark member Elisa has the same name as the main character Pygmalion by George Bernard Shaw, and as the leading character in My Fair Lady.
I literally just turned your stuff. I had to fade out for you. Just like I want him
Baby
Driver.
But speaking of driving amazing cars. Baby Driver.
So that's what I did this morning. Went to the Alamo Draft House for the first time in Littleton.
Is it not great?
It is fantastic.
I love that there. I want it to be closer to us, but I fucking love the Alamo.
It was like a 35-minute drive. I was like fucking worth it.
I went there like on a whim. I was like, yeah, I'll go see a movie there. Actually, no. I went to go see Your Name there and then fell in love with it. I'm like, I'm going to fucking come here for all my movies. But now we live so far away that I can't go sit there.
They're apparently building another one.
They have a second one in Sloan's Lake.
Yes, they're also building another one kind of in like north-ish Denver.
We soon will become Austin, Texas.
It's kind of apparently it's going to be like near-ish DIA. Still kind of far.
Yeah, it's still quite a schlep.
Sucks, but it's probably easier to get there at least.
Alamo Centennial.
Yeah. But something that was really cool, since the Alamo Drafthouse, apparently they do, like, they have their own pre-roll thing. Like, AMC has their first look thing.
It's kind of like how when I went to see Wonder Woman after Zach's, like, yeah, they have a Justice League trailer, they have a Spider-Man trailer. Like, I didn't get any of that.
Yeah, because Alamo actually hires outside companies to do stuff, where they, like, show old things. Like, in the Iron Man movie, they showed, like, old school 90s animated cartoon Iron Man.
Well, and like before Your Name, they were showing like a bunch of Japanese commercials.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's like, that's neat. Good touch.
For this one, they actually had like, they did a thing with Edgar Wright. Like, I think, what was it? It was his top five car chases, top five car crashes in a movie. And then
was any of them Blues Brothers?
Yes.
Okay.
One of his second favorite car chase was Blues Brothers.
Not Blues Brothers 2000. Fuck Blues Brothers
2000. There was one more. There was one more that I like walked in at the end of. I want to say it was like his top five like chase soundtracks or like chase songs.
Please tell me Benny Hill.
I can't remember why. I was still just, I walked in at the end of that one.
Did you sign up for their Victory Club?
I did, yes.
Good man. You get you get a free movie on your birthday, I think.
Oh, nice. But yeah, anyway, the actual movie.
Yeah.
Even though we could talk
about the Alamo all day and how fucking amazing it is.
Very, 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 very Edgar Wright. Like, I mean, one of the things Edgar Wright's known for is his soundtrack. And this movie had amazing sound design. Like, to the point of, it does the thing where when bullets are guns are being shot, it's syncopated with the beats of the music.
Oh, like all those awesome DC Suicide Squad trailers.
Yeah, but it's actually, like, intentionally done with the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And since the whole gimmick is Baby the Driver...
He has tendonitis, right?
Yeah, he has tendonitis in his ear, so he has a ringing. So he drowns it out with music. That's why he always wears earbuds. But it's a cool thing, because he... Right before a heist kicks off... He has a song for that heist, and he has to play it at the very beginning of the heist. Otherwise, he's out of sync with everything.
Okay.
And when he like takes out his earbuds, the music's still playing in the background, but it's dimmed. Like, he's holding the earbuds like away
from him. So at some point, there has to be a gun that goes off like right next to his ear, and then it's complete silence, right?
There is, yes, actually. Okay. There is a scene with that. But yeah, like even what, like when he has his earbuds out and there's a moment where he's just running, all you hear a low ringing the whole time.
Okay.
Like, the sound design is just amazing, and the soundtrack is killer.
I definitely want to see it.
Like, it's a heist movie where you don't give a shit about the heist. That's not the part. It's the chase. It's the getaway. That is the most important part of this movie.
Did they explain why his name is Baby?
Yes, they do. I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
It's kind of subtle because they don't make it explicit until like the very end. And then you're like, oh, okay.
The soundtrack. I'm looking at the soundtrack right now. This is like a really
in the trailer, I knew I would love the soundtrack.
There's a scene where his, like they talk about like, oh, what's your go-to song? And he's like, Brighton Rock. Like, oh, fucking Queen? Yeah. And I was like, oh, please, please have the song. Please have the song at some point. And they do. And it was awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's the action is killer. The drive sequences are incredible. The sound design is amazing. And Kevin Spacey is awesome.
Kevin Spacey looked awesome. Jamie Foxx looked awesome.
Jamie Foxx is a prick.
Ansel Elgort. I don't know what else.
Shane
like, looked awesome. It's interesting because Ansel Elgort doesn't have a lot of dialogue. Like, his character is pretty much told through music.
Wasn't he in Divergent? Wasn't he, like, main character love interest?
Yes.
Probably. No, he was love interest in The Fault in Our Stars. Yeah. Then he was brother in Divergent.
And he also rapped in a Logic song for some reason. Don't know why, but...
I mean, he had Steve Bloom on one album.
Did Steve Bloom make Animal Noises?
Who else is it? John Berthold.
It is Dee Bradley Baker
who
does Animal Noises, and his panel is fucking amazing.
John Bernthal's actually only in it for, like... Maybe the first 10 minutes. Not even much. John Hamm's really the... It's like John Hamm, Jamie Foxx, Kevin Spacey. I'm spacing on the two lead females, too, because one of them's...
Deborah. I think that's the character
name, the character name. I don't know the actress's name off the top of my head. Yeah, I mean, it was... I don't want to spoil much of it, but it is super fucking great.
Like, Isaac Gonzalez, who plays Monica?
Yeah, her.
Then Deborah, Lily James.
Lily James, okay. Yeah, but I mean, I had a...
Oh, she's in Downton Abbey.
Huh. Oh, Downton Abbey.
Yeah, it also took me a while. It also took me a while to figure out where they were located, because they don't tell you at the start. They just go into it. And eventually it's like, oh, they're in Atlanta. That's why he has like a southernish accent.
Okay.
And it's better than Andrew Lincoln's Georgian accent.
Andrew Lincoln has his own accent. It's the coma for 5 years thing.
Yeah.
To be fair, he does a great job for a man who has a not very himself. Thick British accent.
Right.
Well, actually.
Yeah, like, if
he was an asshole.
If you like heist movies and you...
Watch Ant-Man.
No. Well, I mean, think about heist movies. Like,
well, Edgar Wright was the original director on Ant-Man, so okay. It's the heist aspect.
This could have been potentially what Ant-Man
was. How long were you holding on to Ant-Man and Love, actually?
So long.
Because we talked about it the other day. Like, man, we haven't mentioned our tropes in a while. Like, Love, actually... Ant-Man.
Okay, but you were the ones like, look, Zach, it's your favorite version of Ant-Man. I'm like, go fuck yourself. Show me the real Scott Lang.
Because I do have a skin for the Civil War Ant-Man.
Mm.
But still, how long were you holding on to Love, actually, in Ant-Man?
I didn't actually think about that. You're the one who brought up Andrew Lincoln. And Edgar
he brought up Andrew Lincoln.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn you.
That was my fault.
But Edgar Wright was the original director for Ant-Man, which was a heist film.
Yeah. I mean, so when you think about a heist movie, it's... Like, everything is all about the setup of the heist. Oh, the execution. They just blow through all that because it doesn't matter. The heist happens, and then baby's just waiting there in his car. Mm-hmm. And that's when the actual heist kicks off. That's really what this movie is. It's a heist, if the heist was just the car chase part.
See, that reminds me, like, of the Lando Star Wars comic. Because that's the same thing. The entire premise is a heist. They steal the Emperor's ship in, like, the first issue, and then the rest is just the fallout.
Yeah, like, the first 10 minutes of the movie, they pull up to a bank, the three robbers go in, they get the money, boom, we're in a car chase.
Okay.
That's how fast the heist goes. It's like, okay. There's even, like, several scenes with Kevin Spacey where he's outlining the whole heist. He's like, got that baby? And he just... Oh, God.
It wasn't me!
I don't even know
how. You, like, bitch-slapped the mic.
That was a... Hardcore slap.
And then word for word, he just repeats what he just said. Because he's
yeah,
like,
I remember from the trailer,
okay,
like,
I know what I'm doing.
He goes over the heist and even does, like, Kevin Spacey's little, like, table tap that he does.
It's pure
the asshole
Kevin Spacey.
Kid in class that's not paying attention, and the teacher tries to call him out on it.
Yeah. It's such a fun movie, and I really enjoyed it. Like,
me, baby.
If you like car chases, good well scripted action, and just a damn good soundtrack, you're gonna love the movie.
Okay.
You know, I was gonna say when you have damn good driving, like Fast and Furious, well scripted action scenes, like, and then a great soundtrack. No.
What do you mean, Tokyo Drift?
Tokyo.
It's my favorite soundtrack.
Couldn't say it with a straight face.
No, I get it. Really great action scenes.
You know, Vin Diesel and Jason Statham wrench fighting on
no,
top
I'm
of
just the... talking about the third one. You know, the freaking awesome car chase while they're drifting everywhere. And then Han exploding. Great acting. God, I can't even say it with a straight face.
But anyhow,
yeah.
I definitely want to see Baby Driver.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it.
If I weren't taking my mom to go see Spider-Man on Friday, I would definitely go see Baby.
Sometime.
Married to my baby.
But
a baby. Steven Sleptic.
Oh.
Please notice us, Steven.
Let's get some peas.
He said it! It took all weekend, but Steven said it. We were in the kitchen earlier. It's like, I was thinking about the song earlier. I'm like,
yeah, no,
are you going
to
sing it?
I had
I woke up
a couple friends stuck in my head today.
Like, I woke up, went to the breakfast nook, and I'm like, I don't know why, but I have the goddamn pee song stuck in my head.
If you haven't watched any Steven Sleptic video, please do.
It's so great. Kind of funny, Mint talks about him on our podcast for you'll get
nice.
Next week.
Did you watch, sorry, this is totally off topic, but did you watch their the Let's Play Family Friday the 13th video?
No, I haven't watched
it's
that yet.
It's so good. The Steven Sleptic, like, it just clips to Sleptic. It's like, oh man, I hope my camera's working. It's like, man, I can't find it. It's such a great video. And then Bolin.
Oh. Fucking Bolin.
Bolin happens, and it's like the
great
stupid funny moment, and it's like, that could not have been scripted any better if it were scripted.
I thought Bolin's part of Game Attack, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do are they still doing content?
They're part
with
of the family.
They're still
I thought
part
they
of
like exiled themselves.
They're essentially like the
they're like the creatures.
Kind of like, well, it's
weird with the amount of shit
they're not. They're kind of like Cowchop.
Yeah, I'd say a mix between Cowchop and Kind of Funny.
Rooster Teeth like, does not pay for them.
Yeah. They are advertised on the website, but they don't give them any money. Yeah. Any money they get comes from...
This is weird with the amount of shit they've talked about them recently.
I don't know how long they're going to be staying on the Let's Play family at this rate.
Surprised the creatures still are at this point.
Like, I get like there's funny shit talking like, ha ha ha, Achievement Hunter and Funhouse's rivalry.
Yeah.
Like they'll talk shit on each other, but they don't disrespect the company like... Game Attack does.
It was kind of funny though because they tried to start a war with Achievement Hunter. Like they stole their like golden play button as like a yeah.
Yeah.
No one cared.
Yeah, no. It was like, ooh, look, it's on train tracks. Like, and
you're gonna have to pay for that.
Yeah, it's like cool. You can send them the replacement, I guess.
It was just funny. I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah.
We're not involved.
Yeah.
But if Rooster Teeth would like to sponsor us at any point,
we'll be happy to join the Let's Play family with our three.
Videos or our awesome podcast available for everyone at all points in time.
So you think about it, is outside of Rooster Teeth themselves, everyone else in the Rooster Teeth family is video game based
except Septic. Now
he's gonna do a video game thing with them. Super Panic Frenzy 2
# bring Raina back.
Yes, Raina Scully for life.
But anywho.
Anywhoozles. I think that just wraps everything up.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't like how you've stolen my anywhoozles.
Anyways.
I have been the anywhoozles.
Anywazels?
Fine.
Anylizzles? Whatever. Anywhoodle-didits?
Whatever. Just wrap us up.
As always, you've been listening to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast where Zach side-eyes Steven.
Yeah, don't give me your fucking side-eye stare.
You can find us on all of our major avenues, such as iTunes, Google Play,
SoundCloud,
YouTube.
I will end you in the middle of the night.
You can find us on our social media websites like Facebook, Twitter, and you should listen to our sisters, Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Don't start this
You can find on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, or on Twitter using @OutsideTheLongBox.
I don't like how it
what
ends.
The fuck? I don't know what just happened there.
As always, you've been listening to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast. Thank you guys for listening so very much. You can find us on all of our regular avenues, such as iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or YouTube. If you like that, give us a follow, give us a rating. It helps the algorithms find us better so more people can experience the same content that you do. In that same vein, check us out on our social media. Check us out on Facebook, Z2 Podcast, on Twitter, Z2 Podcast, or you can always go on our email, z2podcasts@gmail.com. Thank you guys so very much. We love you, Internet.
Bye.